This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Cities and government agencies are a growing target for ransomware. Cyber criminals infiltrate the computer system, encrypt the data, and then refuse to turn it over until the ransom is paid. City of Baltimore was one of dozens of cities attacked this year. City officials refused to pay the ransom, but recovering from that attack cost the city upwards of $18 million. Closer to home, Orange County was struck in March, and the North Carolina State Bar was attacked just last week. Joining us to talk about this growing trend is WUNC data reporter Jason DeBruin. Welcome back, Jason.
Hi there.
What is ransomware?
Oh, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's locking up some data and demanding a ransom for it. I mean, really, this is not unlike a kidnapping, for instance. I mean, the criminal doesn't actually want anything with the data. There isn't anything. It's not malware, so to speak. It's not malicious in the sense of they're trying to attack your system to you know, cripple you. They just want to lock up your data so that they can get money. Ultimately, this is all just about money.
Well, and interestingly enough, it is the double-edged sword of encryption. So the reason we don't worry too much about the data getting into their hands is because most likely the data has been encrypted.
Exactly.
But you have the key as the government agency, so you can go in, which means if they get at it, they can't really find out your social security number if that's been encrypted. However, they then re-encrypt it. They have the key, and if you want it, you got to pay them.
Yeah, exactly. And it's maybe worth repeating that it's not like they're after your social security number so that they can steal your identity. I mean, that might be sort of a follow-on or an added benefit from their perspective. But no, the idea is for you to pay the money, for the government to pay them the money.
And there's a recent report that showed that really small and mid-sized cities are more vulnerable or more likely to be attacked. Tell us more about that.
That's right. So, and this is the story that I did a few weeks ago and really looked at this. And basically, it's because they're these soft targets. They don't have perhaps the sophistication of some of the larger cities, although you mentioned Baltimore that was attacked. But perhaps some of these larger cities or certainly big companies have more sophisticated protections in place. But some of these smaller cities like a Holly Springs, an Apex, a Zebulon, I'm not saying these have been attacked, but cities of that size, you know, they don't have huge budgets. They're not really equipped to withstand, a massive attack potentially. And so that's why these are these favorable soft targets.
And they're sort of in the middle because you and I, of course, are even less well equipped, but not such a good target. You spoke with Peter McClelland, who's a data security privacy attorney, and he explained why this middle ground is the sweet spot.
Criminals like to hit local governments for the same reason lawyers tend to like to sue them. They have a lot of revenue, even the small towns. They're not going anywhere. And oftentimes they want to make the problem go away. And so they'll be more likely to pay a ransom if they're hit.
All right, that's a clip of Peter McClelland, data security and privacy attorney. And I'm talking to WUNC data reporter Jason DeBruin about ransomware attacks on municipalities and agencies. The North Carolina State Bar was attacked. Tell us about that. That was just last week.
Yeah, that was just recently. They just reported today that they're basically back up and running. So the good news for them was that they did have everything backed up. So although they had their data encrypted, they had a pretty exhaustive backup system so they could just go into their archive, so to speak, that's on a different server saved somewhere completely different, and then they can take all that archived data and sort of just plug it in to their new servers. This takes a while, I mean days or in some cases even weeks, but clearly that's better than having to pay the whatever the ransom demand is.
And Orange County was hit by an attack in March, and that, I mean, this is the entire Orange County, so
right.
You're talking about deeds and marriage licenses and all kinds
right
of things.
exactly and for them, fortunately, sort of the same story there. They caught it pretty quickly, so the malware didn't seep its way too far into their system, but what was encrypted, those files they sort of had to abandon because, of course, they didn't want to pay the ransom and again, did not pay the ransom, but then had to go back to their archives, had to dig out. And, of course, the thing to note here is that, storing massive amount of data on two different places is not free, right? I mean,
right.
So this is, these are, even if you're not paying the ransom, the cost of storing a backup somewhere else, be it in the cloud with Google, Amazon, who, you know, doesn't matter where it is. Like, this costs money. So there is still a very real cost just to the protection here.
And of course, the worry, I mean, depending on how frequently you back up, the stuff that you just didn't capture, or and a worry that maybe something wasn't in the backup to begin with, and there's no real good way to know that.
Yeah, that's a great point. And with the State Bar, for instance, they said that everything that happened between the 24th and the 30th of September was in fact lost. So, you know, that's a week, so it's not the end of the world, I suppose. But nonetheless, I mean, that is still some not insignificant amount of data that then has to be resubmitted, you know, gone through again, causes delays, et cetera.
How common are these attacks now in North Carolina?
So increasingly, you probably won't be surprised to learn. I got this from the state actually just earlier today. So in 2016, there was one attack. 2017, one attack. 2018, four attacks, and already so far in 2019, there have been nine attacks. Mm. So we go from, you know, one, four, and now in, you know, a little bit more than a half a year, nine. So they're definitely on the rise.
All right, well, let's take a deeper look at this growing trend in cybersecurity with expert Richard White, a professor at the University of Maryland Global Campus, author of Cybercrime, The Madness Behind the Methods. Richard White, welcome.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me, Frank.
How you talk about ransomware. So this is a bit of software, right? And it encrypts what it finds. Now, why can't I just kind of go in there and hack it the other way? I reverse engineer this thing. How hard is that?
Well, I wish I had better news for you, Frank, but it's mathematically nearly impossible.
Wow.
It is a weaponized version of a tool that cybersecurity professionals used to protect the confidentiality of data. And the bad actors now have incorporated that into their tradecraft and are forcing us to either go without data, cripple the business, or pay the ransom, which a lot of times you don't get the data anyway.
I'm a little surprised because it seems to me I've got to get a new credit card every 9 months because one database or another where my information has been held, I am informed, has been hacked. So somebody broke the encryption. How come we can't do it with these guys?
Well, that's a sticky wicket. I'm not sure if the database was ever encrypted, and if it was encrypted, I would venture to say that that type of computing power is not available to a commercial or civilian hacker. Some state, bad actors or some state actors, maybe, but it's highly unlikely that if your data were exposed and are for sale on the dark web or on the internet and anywhere, that it was never really encrypted in the first place.
How easy or difficult is it to track these guys when you, in terms of, after the fact, they've asked for a ransom, can I mark the money?
You certainly could in the days gone by, but with a Tor routing, it's a very special type of routing that hides the sender from the destination and vice versa and puts the sender through many layers. And now the form of payment, and you add that on top of the form of payment being requested as the ransom, is Bitcoin. And, it's very difficult to track Bitcoin once it leaves the ledger and moves into the underground.
We are talking about cybercrime today on The State of Things. Richard White is with me. He's the author of Cybercrime, The Madness Behind the Methods, a professor at the University of Maryland's Global Campus. So it's difficult to track them, but difficult to track the money. But, we heard, as Jason and I were just talking about, the fact that if you've got things backed up, you really don't have to pay the ransom. How often do those who were hacked actually pay the ransom?
Well, it is. That's a great question. In 2015, the FBI's mantra was, "We advise you contact us, but we advise you pay the ransom if you want a chance of getting your data back." However, in the last week or so, the FBI has kind of waned a little bit on the pay the ransom, and they are encouraging the commercial market as a whole to stand against ransomware and not pay the ransom. That being said, in the hopes of decreasing the frequency of these type of attacks, because once the FBI verified or advised to pay the ransom in 2015, there were several 100% markup in the type of, the virulence of, and the frequency of ransomware attacks.
How about protecting yourself from the malware in the first place? Is it as easy as, you know, other viruses that we might want to keep out of our systems?
Well, it's the same type of discipline. You know, ransomware doesn't just jump onto your system arbitrarily. It takes a user action, and that user action usually involves the phishing attack. And the user clicks on a link or goes to a website where they shouldn't, or an infected website that has been recently hacked with ransomware for distribution, and they in turn become infected. The number one, number two, and number three thing you can do to protect yourself from the devastating effect of a ransomware attack is back up your data, one. Two, back up your data. And three, back up your data.
Well, Jason, you spoke with several officials around the state, and they're talking about the investment they've made in protecting themselves. I assume back up their data is number one, but what else?
So there are these local municipalities that are now hiring a position specifically as data protection, IT security. So this is somebody who, in some cases, doesn't even work in the IT department. So we're not talking about, you know, the group of people, you know, everybody has their IT department. We're not talking about the people that are getting you new computers or upgrading your systems. We're talking about a new position where the person is dedicated 40 hours a week to just protecting your data. So Orange County, for instance, that was one of their moves. In this new budget, they have enough money to fund a new position. Cary, same situation a few years ago. So there's these municipalities are A, having to pay to back up the data, and B, now paying to hire these new people.
Jason DeBruin, WUNC's data reporter, Richard White, cybersecurity expert, professor at the University of Maryland's Global Campus, and author of the book Cybercrime: The Madness Behind the Methods. Thank you both for being on the program.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Just ahead, we're going to talk about a new comedy that looks at climate change on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.